Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back to Fanboys and Filthy Casual. Back at you once again, as usual. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
Before we get to the meat and potatoes, as Lewis called it. If I say it like that, it sounds kind of weird. But before we get to it, Harold kind of wanted to talk about something that like kind of piqued his interest recently.
Yeah, it was just actually announced the other day that TNT, you know, Turner Networking, is actually going to be bringing back professional wrestling to its network, which is kind of a crazy thing.
That's crazy.
Seeing as it hasn't been on since Nitro went off, which was 12. What year is this? 16 years ago, or
that's
18 years ago.
Almost two decades.
Yeah, it's been almost 20 years since Nitro went off the air, and they just announced this week at their scheduling that they're going to be bringing back wrestling, and the wrestling group that they're bringing back is the new company AEW, which, if you guys don't know, is All Elite Wrestling, headed by Dusty Rhodes' son, Cody, and the Young Bucks, who are Matt and Nick Jackson, and Kenny Omega. And one of their big stars being Chris Jericho. So,
oh crap, he's still around?
Yeah.
He's still relevant?
Yeah, and he's like their big signing. They spent a lot of money on him because...
Is that like, you know, LeBron James?
Yeah, because it's like he, you know, besides Jericho being, you know, a famous wrestler and everything, he is basically like kind of like us. Like, well, he has a slightly more successful podcast.
Slightly more.
But couple more followers.
He's all around in everything where he does, you know, he used to host a TV show. He has, like you said, his podcast. He is still the lead singer of his band, Fozzy. So he's just a worldwide name. And having him there to bring in more viewers is actually a, you know, pretty good idea for them. And it's kind of exciting because, as you know, I know Dennis doesn't follow as much and Lewis does, still does, but the WWE product has been kind of getting a little stale.
Yeah.
And it's a little boring. Mm-hmm. And I always think that it was like the highlight of wrestling was when we had the Monday Night Wars.
Absolutely.
Where you had the opportunity for, you know, if you're getting bored here, you jump to another company. Mm-hmm. And so like now there's an actual competition for Vince McMahon again.
When is that slated?
They said it's either September or November. Around that time is when they're going to be bringing it.
Cool. I think that might be an opportunity for me to kind of, no, jump in.
Yeah, that's true. It's a brand new product. There's no storylines. There's no baggage for you to...
except for Chris Jericho.
Yeah, you're right. That's true. But I'm hoping that they start off new. Because a lot of these wrestlers, like Kenny Omega, you know, it's a name that Dennis or some of the casuals might not be familiar with, but he's huge in Japan, huge in like the independent circuit. So he's been doing his thing. He's been, you know, he's been plying his craft for years. So I'm really looking forward to that. And we're really looking forward to competition, like you said. It's like, I mean, unfortunately, it's kind of like the superhero movies nowadays. You know, Marvel was kind of unanimously holding a monopoly on all that stuff. So you're hoping that DC or some other company will come up with good superhero movies. And, you know, this is kind of the equivalent in wrestling. So hopefully this will be a good product and, you know, put more eyeballs back on wrestling and make everybody better in the long run.
So does this mean AEW is going to put in Rob Pattinson also as their big name?
Hot take. Our second piece of news?
There you go. Just breaking news too. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the nice segue there, Dennis. Just announced today from Variety on Twitter that Rob Pattinson of, you know, Harry Potter fame and of that little movie that a lot of people saw.
I just learned that, like, while you were gone, like, farting.
I was pooping.
Oh, pooping. I just learned that that Robert Pattinson played Cedric Diggory.
So, yeah,
like, I did not know that.
By the way, before Lewis keeps going on, he keeps calling him Rob Pattinson.
We're buddies, dude. We're Rob. My dog Rob.
Is that the new, like, adult version of him? Like, yes, exactly. Benjamin Affleck? Because when you posted in our thing, like, Rob Pattinson, I was like, I don't know who that is. I was like, I know who Robert Pattinson is.
I didn't know.
Because, you know.
Well, you know, if you watch enough of his movies, he's Rob. He's Rob to you.
Okay.
So anyway, like I was saying, so the new...
Did he just admit that he watched a lot of Robert Pattinson movies?
No.
Rob Pattinson. Rob.
You treat that name with respect in this house.
Have we really cut off the news part? Like, he keeps saying who he is, but... Did you say who he's playing yet?
Not yet. Well, he's playing Robert Pattinson.
Are you supposed to pronounce the N? Pattinson.
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 Pattinson. So yeah, a Variety reports that he will be playing Batman in the upcoming Matt Reeves movie of The Batman. So yeah, crazy news, breaking late, and yeah.
You say it's Breaking Dawn?
Yep.
I've never seen a Twilight movie. I just know the titles because of the, I don't know why. But.
Right.
Wait, which is the, is that the last one?
Sure. I have no idea.
I really don't remember. I just remember the one called Breaking
Lewis.
No idea. So yeah, crazy news. I think, you know, the nerd internet, of course, is already you know, up in arms, either in support or, you know, questioning the decision by DC. But, you know, Dennis and Harold brought up a good point when this news broke. There was lots of apprehension when, you know, Heath Ledger was cast as Joker or Michael Keaton was cast as Batman decades ago. So, you know, this fanboy particularly, I'm going to hold my opinion until we see the product. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing that. We'll see.
It's just weird to me, not because of the character of the guy playing it, but because there hasn't really been another Batman that was so heavily ingrained in another character.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah, Michael Keaton was Beetlejuice, but that was like a year. So you gave him a year.
Yeah, it wasn't even a franchise. Yeah, it was a one-movie
thing. One movie shot. This dude has been playing... Which one is he?
I forget. Team Louis? No.
There's Edward and Jacob. He's one of those guys. Edward. Yeah. I think he's Edward.
He doesn't watch the movies,
and,
folks.
And I don't read the books. I'm sorry. But whatever that character is, he played it for how many movies that they have. And so it's like... All people would know him for is exactly that, and like
and
know,
Cedric Diggory.
And, yeah, apparently that. By the way, that's the one Harry Potter movie I've actually seen.
That's the only one they show on like Freeform and on Disney.
Oh no, I saw it in the theater.
Oh okay, I was gonna say.
And I'm like, all right, cool.
Was it because of Robert Pattinson?
Robert?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. But I mean, it's. I mean, I'll give him a chance because like you have to give people. Particularly, I know the whole internet outrage is just a great big thing.
Yeah.
And just give him a chance, see how he does. And then if he fails, then we can like...
Then we can post multiple podcasts about it.
Oh, dude, please, please let this be an amazing Robert Pattinson.
I know.
Oh, man.
We'll look back at this and be like, how wrong were we?
Hot take.
We were right the whole time?
It is September. Whoa. It is... I don't know what day it is.
May 20-something,
2019. And I'm saying now, Robert Pattinson is the greatest Batman ever.
To ever put on the cowl.
Will it have nipples is the question.
Oh, jeez. I don't know. Will it sparkle? Okay, that's enough sparkle jokes. All right. It's been done.
Will the nipples sparkle?
Will this Batman be the man bat?
Wow. Okay. So, what an interesting segue into what we're talking about. So, I guess last minute news, you know, one of our biggest episodes was Avengers Endgame. And one of the funny parts that we didn't talk about is how successful it's been. You know, it's past Titanic. Yeah. And people are arguing whether or not it can surpass Avatar. So, you know, definitely Endgame is such a big hit. But the funny part is, you know, during our Endgame review, one of the things that Harold kind of talked about is, you know, my reaction when Peter Parker showed up during Endgame. And I was really, really, like, frustrated. And I had a couple of people, listeners, who actually really asked me the question, do you really hate Tom Holland? Is that really real? So... We decided that we were going to do a new segment, and we're hoping that, depending on how well this comes out, that this might be one of...
A recurring segment.
So, you know, one of the things that I'm kind of talking about is we're going to talk about Tom Holland. And before we get into this, I want to clear the air real quick. Okay. This is not about Tom Holland. Mm-hmm. This is about Tom Holland's character as Spider-Man. You know, I have to tell you that I actually enjoyed Civil War for the most part, and I remember watching Civil War. I thought that they were able to kind of capture, you know, who Peter Parker was, and that small doses. I was like, oh, okay, cool, that's interesting. But then after watching Homecoming, that's when things started going down. So today we're gonna call our segment Fanboys Court. I hear we get three strikes for copyright.
So worth the first strike in that episode.
If there are any lawyers out there...
Technically, like, since you know, we kind of added on to it, it's not the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's like Vanilla Ice adding that... See? Not copyright infringement.
Okay, cool. So we still keep our three.
Yeah.
So today we're going to be doing Fanboy Court, and that is the way it's going to be. Today I am going to be the prosecutor. I am going to prosecute the hell out of Tom Holland's Spider-Man. Lewis here is going to be the defense lawyer.
I will be the public defender appointed by the courts. So I apologize. I know,
so. Apologize to Tom Holland.
Apologies to Tom Holland. As you all know, I'm a civil servant myself, so I am going to put in like 50% effort.
And of course, since we have three people on our fanboy cast, Harold, of course, is going to be our judge. The Honorable Judge Harold presiding.
Yeah, I'd like to be called the Honorable Judge Reinhold.
Nice.
No. I don't care what you're holding. We're not calling you Honorable. So so we're going to start off today with my main argument. And, you know, I've really been preparing. Like, I've been really
thinking
about
it. Yeah, I see your notes are very succinct.
I know. Oh, dude,
yeah.
This is like...
They're very elaborate.
Dude,
I hope you're
wow.
Ready.
Oh, man.
This is going to be battle.
This is one of those days where I wish we had a video, like us recording, because the fact, I mean, you guys can't see it. I'm the only one that doesn't have notes, but Dennis has his laptop out, full page, full on notes. Lewis has his phone out.
I have bolded titles.
And it's like double spaced, or sorry, single spaced up until the paragraphs, but this is going
to
be good.
Hold on. I, you're right. I need to make the font a little bit bigger.
I think you need more bullet points.
Because I have, don't worry. So let's start.
Yeah.
Your Honor, may I present my opening statement, please?
Go for it.
So, that's how judges start. Right?
Go for it, slick. I hear that's how it goes.
Party on.
Okay, so good evening, Your Honor. I'm here today to argue that the MCU willfully took a beloved character, loved by all, and turned him into a shadow of who he was. I have, on occasion, commented how much I dislike Tom Holland's depiction of Spider-Man in movies such as Civil War and Infinity War, making him, like Spider-Man, into a buffoon instead of the hero he truly is. So I have two main arguments, and I decided to switch it around just to screw with Lewis. My first argument is this. The portrayal of Tom Holland's Spider-Man goes against the character of the Spider-Man who he is supposed to be. His lack of struggles and consequences in his life make him a Spider-Man without depth. And my second argument is going to be that the MCU has used him. They've turned him into the court jester. They've turned him into somebody, a buffoon almost, so that, you know, to make him more likable, to make him more lovable, to make him the Spider-Man that the young people these days want. And I think that has hurt the MCU. And, Your Honor, I believe that after I present my case, you will have no choice but to agree that while Tom Holland is a pretty good actor, and he may not suck, but his portrayal of Spider-Man is terrible.
Opening statement from the defense?
From the defense. All right. Spider-Man has been around since 1962. He has been many things to many generations. The beauty of Spider-Man is that he can be anything to anyone at any time. For a bullied kid, the struggling student, the lovelorn teenager, the broke dreamer, Spidey has always been an escape because he represents all of them and all of us. Tom Holland's Spidey is just that. He's the Spider-Man for this generation. He's looking for acceptance in all the wrong places. He wants to be an Avenger. He wants to be Liz's boyfriend. He wants to be the decathlon's anchor. But he's just a kid who is struggling with all of his wants against his responsibilities and abilities. If that's not Spider-Man, I don't know what is. I rest my case.
You rest your case? You just say,
wait. Done. Okay, well, quick judgment.
What's that thing where I say, don't you? I
don't know. Objection? We should have
shown up. All
right, so that's my opening statement. Thank you.
No, I'm saying?
All right. No, I'm saying.
No, I'm saying.
So, okay, so I'm gonna go and kind of go on. Go off of Lewis, and talk about the fact that I agree. Peter Parker is supposed to be the everyman. Peter Parker is supposed to be somebody that represents all of us. You know, he's not special. Mm-hmm. The only thing that made him special was a spider bite. He doesn't have money. You know, he's unlucky at love that you talked about. There are all these things that Spider-Man, the Spider-Man that we know and love, that's what makes him special. Tom Holland does not actually struggle. Think about it. He was not struggling financially. He was a middle class guy with a nice home. He, instead of a poor aunt that can't afford anything and he has to go out and be a photographer, you know, young hot Aunt May is there and seems like he's doing pretty well. You know, Disney chose to kind of avoid the whole Uncle Ben thing, and so at no point do you actually see Peter struggling with anything in terms of, you know, responsibility and, you know, the loss or anything like that. That's my problem with Spider-Man, and I think Tom Holland's Spider-Man's biggest issue is that there is no loss. There is no hero's journey that we can all relate to. You know, if you think about it, Lewis kind of pointed out, the only struggle that you see Spider-Man do is, I want to be an Avenger. Oh, and no fair, he doesn't want me to be an Avenger. Oh no, Tony took my suit. You know what? I don't need my suit. And then all of a sudden, he actually doesn't, because he's given a suit again. So it's like, every single time there's anything that there is any struggle with Spider-Man, it's like, nope. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, that's my first point, is that he really doesn't have any much struggle in his life.
Okay. My counter argument, I guess, would have to be that, all right, in regards to struggles, I think Tom Holland's version of Spider-Man is a victim of today's day and age. I think, you know, the three of us were raised on Tobey Maguire's amazing version of Spider-Man, who was at the peak of struggling. Like, dude never got anything at the end of any of his movies, more or less. You know, his it walked us through his struggles. Now, when I say that, you know, Tom Holland was a victim of his circumstances, it's because I think the MCU or Marvel made a pretty okay decision to kind of skip all that, because kind of like the Batman origin story, we don't need to see Uncle Ben die again. We don't need to see all that all over again. And you know, he is just a victim again of the MCU, being that, you know, he had to be straddled, more or less. You know, I'm gonna throw Tony Stark under the bus here, but, you know, he had to be straddled with the Tony Stark version of the MCU. You know, I know that one of your concerns, a lot of people's concerns, is that, you know, a lot of Spider-Man's abilities, besides, you know, being bit by a spider, which we never saw, has been dependent on Iron Man, you know, stuff. So, you know, he has to be part of this universe. So, you know, to sacrifice some of that struggle that we see, you know, it is a little daunting, or it's a little jarring, I guess, because we do want to see that this kind of struggle happen. But, you know, I think he's a victim of his circumstances. There you go.
Now, I can agree with that. You know, maybe it is the decision by the MCU, I don't know, to kind of dumb it down a little bit, you know, to make sure that, you know, we don't kind of tread through the same, you know, tropes, the same ideas. But again, you know, along with problems and issues, the other thing that, because he doesn't have any struggles, because he doesn't have any issues, the other thing that makes Tom Holland's Spider-Man look terrible and really unlikable is that he, you know, he really doesn't have much consequences. You know, he's like the Ferris Bueller of, you know, it's funny that we talk about, you know, all those 80s movies, but that's who he is. He does all these cool things. He says all these quippy, funny things. He breaks the law. He does all those things, and he doesn't get any consequences. For example, remember in Homecoming, he destroys, through his actions, because of his inexperience, he destroys that shop, the where the store owner is like,
oh right,
you know,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, no, you know, during the whole thing where Spider-Man and his best friend Ned go to the party, you know, dude like ups and leaves and forgets Ned in the middle of like you know a bunch of strangers. He you know, he abandons his team when they most desperately need him. He sneaks out of school, you know, and you know, his actions, you know, led to the destruction of the boat. But the funny part is, every single one of those things didn't have any consequences. If you think about it, he doesn't help pay or clean up the guy's store. He just kind of looks at it going, oh man, that sucks for you. You know, Ned, the moment he shows up, there's no, like, you know, anger, there's no, like, argument, there's no emotional, like, forgiveness or anything. Ned, he goes, ah, it's cool. You know, you gotta do what you gotta do. When he abandoned his friends, his teacher said, oh, don't worry about it. Welcome back. You can have your seat again. And, you know, the Flash gets first alternate all of a sudden. No one ever mentions, you know, where's Peter? You know, what happened? How come he never, he doesn't have any tardies, doesn't have any absences. And if you think about it, he really didn't have much consequence when it comes to the boat. Like, he you know, after he kind of pulled everything together, that's it. And then there was nothing that happened. There was no punishment. The only punishment that you can kind of think about it is that he kind of gets his suit taken away. That was it. That was the only, like, slap in the wrist. And but everything else, it was hunky-dory. He still had the girl. He still had, you know, MJ after the girl left. You know, his best friend is still there. Nothing of consequence happened to Peter Parker. And so, you know, and again, I go back to my first argument. It's supposed to be us. You know, that's what makes Spider-Man. Let's not even think about, you know, Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. We just go canon who Spider-Man is. Spider-Man is somebody whose life is all about consequence. It's his actions led to the death of Uncle Ben. His relationship with Gwen is what was the consequence of her dying. He loses MJ all the time because he keeps on deciding that he needs to be Spider-Man. He does all these things because he thinks it's right, and it screws his life up. That's who Spider-Man is. And at the end of the day, the only thing that you know Spider-Man kind of gets is, oh man, I don't get my suit anymore. Oh man, I don't get to be an Avenger anymore. Where is the struggle? Where's the pathos? Where is, you know, all those things that make Spider-Man who he's supposed to be?
I want to switch sides. But as the court ordered public defender,
50%, 50%.
I must stand some kind of ground. I think for, I get it. I do understand the concept of consequences and whatnot. But, you know, I think we had to take things from the perspective of, for who Tom is supposed to represent. I know you said that he's supposed to represent us, but I think, not to pull from another Spider-Man movie, but if we're to put things into the scheme of, like, into the Spider-Verse, you know, we're Peter B. Parker. Tom Holland's Spider-Man speaks to a younger generation, our kids. So the fact that, you know, I know you kind of made the fact that Tony took the suit away kind of a smaller deal or underappreciated that, but I think from a child's perspective or from a teenager's perspective, you know, this is the one father figure that he has that has taken away the one, you know, his love and his guidance, basically. And then it's kind of, now to think of it, it's kind of like, you know, there's a gag in Homecoming where, you know, Tony tries to go open a door and Peter goes in for a hug. You know, part of me feels that the suit that Peter received from Tony is that metaphorical hug that he needed from a father figure. You know, the whole point of, or what I feel what the whole point of Homecoming was looking for these father figures and how flawed they can be and how their decisions can affect the next generation. Obviously, the Vulture, it turns out to be Liz's dad, and, you know, that obviously has ramifications to their relationship. And, you know, we have to kind of take things from the grander perspective that the MCU has given us to kind of look at the minutia. You know, we shouldn't take the forest for granted, the trees for granted for the forest, because, you know, even though it does seem like a small moment that Tony took away the suit, that's, you know, for Peter, that's huge. So, you know, I feel those are the consequences. Obviously, in Infinity War, he paid the ultimate consequence by dying. But obviously, if you've seen Endgame, spoilers, he's back. He's okay.
So, what consequence did that
I know.
That happened? I was going to say.
He was there by oh, never mind.
Public defendant. I got another case in like 5 hours. Like half an hour.
This is the most, I got public defendant has ever spent, actually.
I got to defend Finn Jones's Iron Fist in like half an hour. Not looking good.
Just on the losing side of everything here, buddy.
You know, and it's funny, and I kind of see your point in terms of like, you know, we have to take a look at it in the younger generation,
mm-hmm, yeah,
which kind of makes it kind of sad that we're making the younger generation look like a bunch of like wusses.
I know. This is the Instagram generation.
It's like, you know? Oh, you know, even this one, oh, I want a hug, you know, you know, Peter Parker would have loved a hug from Uncle Ben, right?
Oh,
you know, that's the struggle that you
have. He was busy bleeding on the sidewalk.
But you know, that's I guess that's my thing, is that I can't accept it, because if you think about it, you kind of use Into the Spider-Verse. Into the Spider-Verse was able to tap into the new age, you know, the younger generation. That's what made Miles Morales so hip. But if you think about it, one reason why Miles Morales was again likable, well, because of the struggle.
Yeah.
Because that he.
Shouldn't agree as a public defender. Sorry, but yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, like Miles Morales was like, there.
And you make a good point.
Strike that from the record.
I object.
We have I object to myself.
It's like your Jim Carrey and Liar Liar. Yeah. You're just like, you know what, he's right.
But go ahead. I'm sorry. So Miles totally worked. Yeah,
Miles totally worked. And again, because of the very same thing that I talked about. Consequence, struggle. You know, that's what made us like him. And he, at no point was he cool. And, you know, the fact that he does the, you know, the, hey.
Yeah.
You know, that's how awkward he is. That's who we love. You know, and I think that's the problem for me, is that Tom Holland plays such a good Peter Parker that has not had anything happen in his life. And who, and like you said, maybe it's because MCU decided to kind of avoid that whole thing. But if you remember in Homecoming, the very first part, while he's over there going, you know, I want to be an Avenger. Like, he's not even trying to stop crime. He's not even, he's like sitting there, you know, kind of talking to, what's the name of that, his suit, Karen or something like that?
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know, right. He's just sitting there going, twiddling his thumbs, waiting for that call. He's not out there like web-slinging or capturing bad guys or anything like that. And again, at least for me, it's a poor depiction of what I wish Spider-Man would be. And if that's the case, if you know, if the new Spider-Man, the heroes that we have, is somebody who is weak, who can't struggle, then that's a, you know, that's a terrible reflection on the generation that we have now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the MCU has put a little bit more value lately, at least. I want to say, you know, not to get too insider baseball here, but you know, after the second phase or the third phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, you know, they kind of emphasize more on the spectacle. And I think to defend Tom as Spider-Man, his Spider-Man is all spectacle. You know, he is, you know, he does his own stunts. He wears the suit. He's, you know, like maybe 80, maybe only 10-20% CGI. The rest of it is all Tom Holland. So, you know, that's what appeals to a lot of the, again, I mean, not to make it a us versus them generational thing, but, you know, this is what the younger generation really appreciates. You know, they do, as much as we love Tobey Maguire, you know, representing Peter, you know, this Tom Holland is what these kids nowadays look up to, in the sense that, you know, he's got his head on more or less right. You know, he does the right thing, and, you know, he does all on his own moral action. I take that back. You know, he does what he can.
Suits.
It's
like, kill by mode. The way, I'm ignoring the whole, I'm not even arguing the suit anymore, because
let's throw that out there. Yeah. After he says kill mode in Endgame, like, come on. I'm sorry. Again, strike that from the record, Honor.
I object
to that last point.
Why? I object at myself.
To myself?
Good call. Good call.
So yeah, I mean, this Tom Holland is the perfect Spider-Man for the MCU. It's not for everybody. You know, one of the notes I had was the fact that, you know, Spider-Man, like I said, is generational. The first the first version of Spider-Man, you know, he got his powers from a radioactive spider. The ultimate, the Miles Morales version was from, I think it was a biological spider that, you know, they were trying to copy the Captain America serum, and that's what bit him. This one, you know, Tom Holland, he's, you know, he's the Iron Man Spider-Man, if that makes any sense. Iron Spider. Thank you very much. So, you know, this is the new generation. This is the one, this Spider-Man is for the ones who've been watching superhero movies for the last 10, 15 years. You know, that don't have those kind of, you know, landmarks or those kind of things to hold on to. So, you know, this Spider-Man is not for us. It's for the next generation.
And I think, you know, going back to my point that the MCU kind of has thrown him under the bus, you know, the fact that you make your you know, one of the things I talked about is I actually liked Civil War. I was looking forward to Spider-Man, you know, Homecoming. And when Homecoming happened and the first third of the movie is about Iron Man, you know, it's about the, you know, his struggle with Iron Man. I'm looking at it going, dude, when am I going to find more about you? And I think, and that's why I remember walking out of that show. And as Lewis kind of pointed out, it was a spectacle. It was like, oh man, there were cool fight scenes, action pieces, set pieces, and everything. And I left, I was like, oh man, that was pretty entertaining. But then as I kind of walked out and thinking about what I was going to say, that's when I started kind of looking at it again. This, I guess, is not my Spider-Man. And I think, you know, I have to accept it, as you said, that the Spider-Man that the MCU has crafted is somebody who is, you know, maybe is a softer, gentler, that fits our the now generation. And I think, you know, I'm going to end my argument by saying that is, unfortunately, the reason why I don't like Tom Holland's Spider-Man, is that it makes him into something totally, you know, something else totally. Which, you know, to be fair, if you take a look at, you know, I don't know if you've tried reading like Iron Man and Captain America, you know, and you compare it to the MCU. The MCU's Iron Man and Captain America is actually more entertaining. You know, yeah. And if you look at the comic books and everything, it's a chore sometimes. But, you know, and who knows, maybe that's the purpose of it. Making somebody as complex as Spider-Man, dumbing it down so that everybody can accept it, which I think is a disservice.
Lou? Oh, okay. So for my closing statement, yeah, I mean, just to keep harping back on what I was saying, you know, Spider-Man underneath the mask can be anybody, unlike Superman or Thor, whose face is out there for everybody to see. Anybody can imagine themselves as Spider-Man. That's why I think Into the Spider-Verse works so well, because it had, you know, boys, girls, teens, spider pigs. You know, that's where we are with Tom Holland's Peter Parker. He's not the Spider-Man. I hate to say it too, but he's not our Spider-Man. He's this next generation Spider-Man. The end. Fiend. If we had a
video, and scene. You know what? You guys both made really good points, and having to hear the discussion actually break down right in front of me, you take into account both sides of everything that you guys have just said, and I agree with a lot of things that you both said. And there's just, having been at the movie when Dennis, you know, when Homecoming came out, and the hype that came into, this is me non-judgy for a second, is the hype that came into that movie, where everybody who had seen it before us was telling us that it's the best MCU movie that they've made since, you know, probably Iron Man, is what everyone told us. And from what we gathered, it's because it's very similar to the original Iron Man, in that there was a lot of Tony Stark in it. And the thing that I liked about the Tom Holland character and the Tom Holland portrayal of Spider-Man was indeed what we talked about beforehand, in that he was a John Hughes version of Spider-Man. So, in effect, he's both kind of a version of Spider-Man that we're supposed to like and, relate to, because, you know, I know you guys are both in the Philippines at the time, but for some of us who were born in this country, and
who is this John Huggies?
Huggies.
Huggies.
Huggies. Huggies.
Huggies.
Huggies.
I have not seen Frit in Fink.
Yes, you have.
I just did, actually. I take it back.
But it's like that character we're supposed to relate to him a lot stronger because, you know, the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, not so much a teenager, but Tobey Maguire played a great Peter Parker in being an awkward character who, like Dennis said, had to go through a lot of struggles and in order for him to succeed as a superhero. Not so much that Andrew Garfield thing. We'll just pretend that never happened.
Excuse me. I would rather have Andrew Garfield over Tom Holland. Hey, that's not part of the argument right now.
That's just
I object to that.
I object to both of you saying that Andrew Garfield was ever Spider-Man. But Emma Stone was there, so
you got that.
Jamie Foxx. But like, we pretend those ever happened just because we had a Spider-Man, or we had a character, an actor playing Peter Parker and Spider-Man who was neither good at either of those characters. Or he tried a little too hard to be too funny as Spider-Man, and then he tried a little too hard to be an outcast as Peter Parker, when it was pretty obvious that he was like the coolest kid in school because he did skateboarding, he did parkour, and he had cool hair.
He was pretty handsome.
Yeah, he wasn't a bad-looking guy. And then we're supposed to get the perfect match when you have Tom Holland coming in to be both a great, you know, Peter Parker and a great Spider-Man. Like, because a lot of people said that when Tobey Maguire played Spider-Man, was not humorous enough in the role as Spider-Man. Which, you know, if you really think about it, he was. He wasn't. He never tried to be the kind of the jokester, you know, a little bit clever person that we had seen in previous media before. And then we get this version now where it's like he tries to be funny. And it's like he's trying, like Dennis said, he's trying a little too hard. So it's like, for us, it doesn't come across that great. Maybe just his, you know, his interpretation of humor doesn't come off too good. And like you guys said, though, maybe kids think it's funny. Maybe kids think that in the middle of a battle, you're supposed to throw a quip in. You know, it's like trying to make... I know that when they made the Deadpool character try to be humorous, they're basing it off a lot of what Spider-Man brought originally. And the Homecoming coming after Deadpool coming out made that seem a little cheesy. Because it was like... Maybe some people are saying it's a little too self-referential. But in terms of everything, I can't... You know, you'd have to side with Dennis on this a lot. Just because... But I'm siding on Dennis saying that this is the Spider-Man for the MCU, but not the Spider-Man for Dennis. You know what I mean? Like, everybody else... Apparently, everybody else in the universe besides Dennis.
I mean, remember when we watched the movie, the moment Tom Holland Spider-Man came out, the whole movie, like, everybody erupted.
Okay. Yeah, when we watched Endgame, the whole, like we said in the previous episode, the entire theater bursts out in joy, except for Dennis.
Except for me.
Like, while a whole crowd is enjoying this moment, literally has time to turn to me and go, Jesus Christ. Well, he didn't say that particularly, but it's as close as it gets.
Which portal did he come out of?
Yeah, exactly. And like Dennis said, you know,
shoving in his portal.
That's kind of like, I agree, Dennis, in the whole consequences thing. Him bringing up that point was really, and him starting out with that point kind of like, you know, edged me towards him right away from the start. In that you even brought up the point that there is no consequence for him dying in Infinity War, because technically he's only been gone for 5 minutes, you know, because like they said, you know, every year like a minute or whatnot, and so it's like he never even disappeared. And in terms of the movie, he doesn't really disappear because, you know, he ends up coming back in the end anyways. So do you have a Spider-Man that you don't feel sorry for, is kind of what we have to go with. Is that, do you like that character better when you feel sorry for him? Like, because he's supposed to be one of those characters where you're supposed to be emotionally invested in. And for me, with Dennis, it's hard. Even everything that he's gone through, it's like hard to relate to him in terms of emotional. emotions. So hopefully with the next one that's coming out, mm-hmm. they do go delve a little bit more into his character. And actually, one of my friends brought up this point where it's like, wouldn't it be great if the new Jarvis was Tony Stark?
Like, no.
That's okay. So this is what he want. That's when my buddy said that, I was like, no, that would be terrible. And he's like, why? I go, because the point of them killing off Iron Man in the first place was, I mean, not the full point, but a good point of having him there was that you finally get to separate the Spider-Man character from him. So he's able to develop himself mm-hmm. as his own character. And now that he's technically the new linchpin for the Marvel Universe.
God damn. I can't believe.
It's sad. It's not sad, but it's what's happening. It's like having him separate himself finally from Tony. You're going to get the first half hour of him being pining over Tony the whole time. So please be prepared for that, because we know that's going to happen.
We'll bring a stress ball. And we'll squeeze the hell out of the stress ball.
Why is he even that sad about Tony Stark? Like, it's not father
earned.
Figure?
It's not earned. It wasn't earned.
Yeah.
I get it.
Like,
that vein's coming out in his forehead again, dude.
There's two of them. But the other one's down here.
down where?
But, I mean, you've seen, at least from the trailers, that's what we're getting. And then, yeah, like I told my buddy, you gotta just, it needs to separate in. And that phase, they say the phase ended, let the phase end and let these new characters go on.
Yeah, and I kind of agree. Like, that's what frustrated me with that. And not just because it's Spider-Man, and it's not just Tom Holland's Spider-Man, but the fact that you're claiming that after the death of Tony Stark, it's still not the end of the whole phase four. That was perfect. You should have done a Homecoming or a Far From Home where that's kind of what I want. Him finding who he is, finding who he can be without the need of without the need of Tony Stark. I mean, it's not like he doesn't have an old father figure that died tragically in his arms that he should be pining for now. You know, it's too bad, so sad. You know, you knew that guy, but, you know, throughout the whole MCU thing, because you chose not to talk about it, you know, that's his first loss, you know, Tony Stark. And really, you didn't earn, there was no love, there was no, you know, there was no real connection there. And that's why, you know, when we talked about the Endgame review, that's one of the points that I was kind of frustrated that I forgot to mention, is that why was it that Tony Stark was so heartbroken about the death of Peter Parker?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but other people around him that helped out died also. Doctor Strange, mm-hmm. who died, and there's no, like, loss there. I don't know. And again, maybe it just really is me being fanboy Dennis and, like, just strictly allowing myself not to think of Tom Holland Spider-Man as good. But here's the thing. I've got to tell you, I'm going to go into, as much as I can, I'm going into that movie with open eyes, open heart, and I'm just going to let it happen. And that's going to be the movie.
Okay, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. And that's going to be me. That's going to be my final chance. I'm going to give it one final chance for me to like this character. I truly hope it's some, because I love Spider-Man so much. I love that character so much. It pains me that I don't get to enjoy Spider-Man in the MCU.
And I kind of agree. Like, I think it would actually benefit, this next generation of comic book fans, superhero fans, if they saw a Spider-Man struggling. Because I totally agree. I mean, I love the comic books growing up, but I mean, not to keep going back to our Spider-Man, but Tobey Maguire's version, especially at the end of Spider-Man 2, like, he was the peak of struggle. You know, he was being kicked and elbow dropped while he was down. You know, he couldn't pay rent. He couldn't get the girl. You know, his one father figure, the second father figure he had in two movies, turns out to be, you know, Doc Ock, and becomes the most evil guy on Earth. His best friend finds out that who he is and wants to kill him now. It's, you know, this is kicking, you know, this, that is peak Spider-Man. And, you know, to us, I think you're right. I mean, I really do think this next generation could benefit from a little bit of a heartache. You know, those kind of the movies are those are the kind of moments. You know, that's the power of fiction, or that's the power of these stories, is that you can tell these powerful stories and teach a lesson to these kids. You know, even though, yeah, at the end, Spider-Man did get Mary Jane, but even then, you know, it was very pensive, her face. You know, you just got to persevere and you got to work for it. And that's what being a hero is about. So that's what being a good person is about. And yeah, you're right. I mean, are we done here? Because I kind of want to go into the society. Okay. Yeah, I totally get it. Like,
Judge rules in favor of Dennis. All right. Dun, 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 dun. Sorry. I cue it up.
We can find the music, but it's going to take him too long to cue it up. So yeah, anyway, I'm done with Dennis's point. I think Tom Holland's version of Spider-Man could... I mean, maybe that's what we'll deal with in Far From Home, is that, you know, it's basically going to be an epilogue to both the Spider-Man and the Tony Stark story and the Avengers, this phase, this Infinity War phase, moving on to the next ones. Because if I'm not mistaken, again, not to get too behind the curtains too much, but yeah, they have a whole slate of Marvel movies coming out in the next three, 4 years. So, you know, this is not going to stop. You know, these movies are going to still keep coming, and we'll see where they go from here. Bum, bum,
Well, I'm hoping you guys liked, as the fans, I'm hoping you guys liked Fanboys Court. You know, this is definitely, as we said, I kind of enjoyed it.
I did too.
You know, so
I'm underpaid.
Good job, everyone.
The pro boner over here.
Exactly. What?
Am I against boner?
Yeah, you're anti-boner.
Okay, he's pro-boner. You got it. Okay, cool. So if you guys liked our Fanboys versus Blank, hit us up. You know, are there some things that you would like us to argue about, mm-hmm. argue for? You know, who knows? Maybe in the future I get to claim that Andrew Garfield, which I guess I'm the only one who actually liked the movies. Well, actually, the movie, the second one sucked.
That's why.
The second one sucked.
That's the thing, is you can make that argument, but the second one was garbage.
Like, The Matrix.
Yeah. Reloaded wasn't that bad.
Oh, what?
As far as I know, the first movie was it.
That was it.
That was it, right? Nothing happened after that.
Third one.
Nothing happened after it. Sorry. I almost kicked the table.
Okay, well, that is it for us today. I hope you guys enjoyed our episode. You know, as usual, you know, we want to get to know you guys. We want to be able to connect with you. One of the ways that we do that is through our website, 2fanboys1casual.com. You know, check out our articles, check out our old episodes. That's the best way for you to get caught up with what we've been doing.
On Facebook, you can find us on 2fanboys and a filthy casual. You know, that's where we post our links whenever they go live. All the fun news, just like the Rob Pattinson news and the AEW news, Robert Pattinson news.
Robert.
And anytime stuff like that happens, actually big shout out to our followers recently. You know, thank you for being active on the Facebook.
On the Facebook.
I almost went through a whole episode.
You already said Fritty and Fink, but that was intentional.
That was exactly.
So is this one.
Yes. So, you know, comment on the Facebook. Thank you to the fans and our followers for staying active and posting comments and sharing and liking all the articles that we're putting up. It's a lot of fun being moderators when you guys are active too. So
Shout out to fangirl Ivy, who actually posted something.
Yeah, she had like memes in her holster. She was like ready for that. Like, who knew like Game of Thrones could trigger so many people?
Who knows? Maybe when we see Robert Pattinson.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Can't wait to see the Facebook tomorrow. Wow, did I just say Facebook? When I say Facebook tomorrow.
The interwebs.
Maybe the internet. You've been watching The Social Network tomorrow.
I think so.
Just get rid of the... Make it Facebook. You can also follow us on both Twitter and Instagram at 2fanboys1casual.
That's it for us today. I hope you guys enjoyed our episode. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
Good night, everybody.